everyone. Welcome back. This is episode 130, Drunk Friend Podcast. It's me, Trav, a.k.a. Nest Friend over there on the YouTubes. And over there is Alex. Okay, you might know him as Snest Drunk. Alex, how's it going, man?
Going okay. I thought we weren't going to do the big introductions. We were just going to start talking at the beginning of these.
Oh,
I was. Did you abandon that strategy already?
Yeah, I was just talking there. That wasn't even... That's just things I say sometimes. I've done so many podcasts. I just sometimes welcome people to an episode when I walk into the room.
It's kind of like, I had this idea a long time ago when I was a kid, like, yeah, I want my own entrance music. I want to walk around with like a boombox, battery powered boombox,
yes,
and just play like Triple H's entrance theme.
Uh-huh.
And then I just spit water all over the place. Like every time I'll go to like a mall and every time I walk into a freaking Spencer's Gifts, I just spray water everywhere, and then I just walk in, and my friend just carries a boombox playing a cassette tape of Triple H's theme recorded off a TV speaker.
I love that. See, now that's good gag TV. That reminds me of like Trigger Happy TV that was on Comedy Central. It was
Trigger Happy. That was great. That was a good show.
Right? Because I don't like pranks don't get personal with people. Just do something and see if anybody notices. That's funny to me. And
just
Trigger
dumb
Happy TV,
stuff yeah, like that.
Trigger Happy TV was all about just having guys in like full on mascot outfits just brawling in the park. killed me. Or just doing normal people stuff, but in mascot costumes randomly.
I mean, a guy in a duck costume versus a guy in a moose costume, like going on like a Pier 6 brawl. That's comedy. Like that's always going to get a laugh.
Yeah. And it's just happening. Like, it doesn't look like there's any fanfare. The cameras are hidden. It's just two mascots.
Yeah, there's like there's nobody around. There's nobody watching. There's no cameras. It's just like two dudes and
I love that
college mascot. Yeah. What's wrong with that? Why can't we have more of that?
Exactly. I don't know how we got. Oh, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if you had a guy follow you around with a boombox and you just walked into an Olive Garden making an entrance and then you just left, but we recorded everyone's reaction to that. That's fun. It's harmless. It's funny.
And then there's a payoff too, because eventually,
yeah,
you know, you run that skit a few times, or actually, no, it would be in the same skit. It would be like a 3-minute skit where I'm doing the Triple H thing, and then it ends when I walk into, I don't know, Hot Topic or something like that, and instead of playing the music. Instead of playing my entrance theme, the dude just blasts me with the boombox over my head, rips off his shirt, reveals an NWO shirt, and the NWO theme plays instead, and he starts doing the Scott Hall dance.
Oh, man.
And that's how it goes.
You've really thought about this.
Well, I've thought about it right now, and that's what I want to see. So I really want to see somebody hit me over the head. I imagine, like, the boombox flying apart, you know, at the rivets. Do boomboxes have rivets? I don't know why I said rivets.
I don't know why you said it either, and I don't know if they do. So we're both clueless on that.
But yeah, I wanted it to fly apart into a million pieces. I lay there like unconscious, and the guy like just plays his own theme and browses around Hot Topic and maybe buys like a sticker or something.
Everyone's so uncomfortable.
I was like, what the hell just happened?
Is that guy okay? I love it. Also, I feel like I need to read you an email I got today at work. Can we take it to Email Town?
Let's go.
That's different from our emails. This is a new segment called Email Town, where we just read emails we got as humans.
Email Town. Right, we're visiting Email Town. Let's go.
Yeah. Now I want to preface this by saying I work at a company that is a mostly remote company. So about half our employees, a very small company. There's maybe, I don't know, 40 of us, and 15 to 20 maybe work on site, and the rest of us are remote. All right. I get an email today from a guy who I work with. He's a very mild-mannered guy. I've never really heard him talk much. But the email is titled On-Site Employees Only. So I'm clicking on that. You know, I'm not on site, but I'm like, what are the on-site employees up to? Why are they sending out secret emails? Right?
Exactly. Secret emails. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So I click on it, and it is – and another interesting thing about my company, this requires some preface just to be enjoyable, but we don't send emails to each other a lot because we use, like, Microsoft Teams as our ecosystem. So I don't get a lot of like internal email. Usually that if I get a message, it's sent from some other way. So the fact that it is an email is also wild to me, because I've gotten maybe, since I've been there for 2 years, maybe 8 emails total that were like a company all email, right? So this email says, to whom it may concern, this email will not be pleasant. Today is my second time, that was in all caps, second time to experience nearly congested toilet in men's room of building 2. And I think it's funny that it's building 2. He says, the course. Right. The consequence would be tragic if I didn't find a way to clean the congestion which was left by someone else. The overflow out of the toilet was almost there. Now, I also need to clarify that the person sending this email, English is not their first language. So they are angry in a different language, and they're doing a great job being angry in a different language.
Yeah.
The problem was that the gentleman used the large piece of kitchen paper towel instead of regular toilet paper to clean his... And this blew me away. He types asshole, but he puts A... asterisk, asterisk, H, asterisk, 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 asterisk. Say asterisk a bunch real fast. That's hard. But he like bleeped asshole, which is funny to me, in a work email. Well, he didn't even have to add hole, right? He could just say to clean his ass, but he went asshole. That killed me, man. I was dead on the floor when I got the asshole. And then he says, then he goes on, because we're all scientists, so he's got to teach somebody something. He says, the hard-to-dissolve and strong fibers of the kitchen paper towel,
oh my God,
especially a large piece, easily causes the flush impossible. Great sentence by him. I know he's trying his best, but I loved it. Then he says, so please don't throw a large piece of kitchen paper towel into the toilet next time. Thank you for your cooperation. Have a good night. Best regards. Yours sincerely. Then he added his name. Now, Alex, that was a jarring email to get, because again, I know this guy. He never really speaks up in meetings that we have, like online. I've met him in person. He's very quiet. So this really sent him off to the point that he was using like Google Translate and upset. Like he was getting
yeah.
It. But it didn't end there. There was a follow up email.
Oh shit!
And see, now I'm suspicious because I think this guy. The initials I'm going to give here are DA. I don't want to give away any names, but DA here. He replies awfully fast to this email to the point that I think he might be the guilty party. Let me see what you think.
Uh-oh.
He says, okay. This is a concern that needs attention if it hasn't been addressed already. Dave had to mop and fan dry the floor yesterday, and I had to do the same with the visiting group that was here on site last week. As it was left for the next individual to handle and was ignored. My children have better bathroom courtesy. I'm sure we can sort this. And for some reason, I want to point out that in that sentence, my children have better bathroom courtesy, he capitalized 2 words in that sentence, and they were children and courtesy. I don't know. I'm tempted to read this back and see if there's an embedded message.
The bathroom courtesy children sounds like a Saturday morning cartoon or something.
It does, but only on TBN or whatever the religious channel is. I don't know. That seemed it was very quick to be like, yeah, we should.
Oh, if you're quick to be defensive like that, you're the guilty party for sure. Yeah,
right. That was like OJ being like, we need to find who got Nicole. I'll tell you that. It's like, yeah.
I'll watch this drive.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to share that. It cracked me up. It was just a lot, you know, not a lot of drama where I work. It's just
that's pretty funny. I mean, that's if there's any drama, I think the most common drama at workplaces is usually 2 things. One is who's eating my lunch out of the fridge. And 2 is who's plugging up the toilet.
Yeah. Who's doing it?
Yeah.
Probably the guy eating the lunch.
Yeah, seriously. Toilet plugging humor always tickles the old funny bone. I can remember being a kid the first time we went to Disney World way back in the day, and my brother plugged the toilet in the Disney Resort hotel room. My dad was apoplectic. The next time we go to Disney World, the very first night my brother plugged the toilet again, and it's just like, is it the food in Florida or something? But yeah, it's always going to make me laugh. How is something like this handled at this point? When you send an email to everybody like this, does it get like what is the purpose of that? Is it like, is there an investigation? Does it get solved? Do people respond like, oh, sorry, buddy, that was me. It was the chicken parm, you know, like whatever.
I don't know. I guess it's like they need that guy. I mean, I get it. It's the kitchen paper towels, but now they're going to have to start tracking, you know, the usage of those. Be like, hey, I saw you near the paper towels. You doing a weird poop or something?
Possibly.
Everyone's going to feel guilty.
I think it's clear that that guy had an explanation that he wanted to tell everybody. Like, you are using the wrong kind of thing, and that's why it's plugged.
Yeah.
Like, that's the source of the email, basically. It sounds like, right?
Kind of. So, I mean, he did say also it was the second time for him. So, I mean, the first time he let it slide. He was like, all right.
So, this guy, he thinks it's the same guy both times?
I think he thinks there is a...
There's a serial pooper that's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, small company. I mean, at this point, when I saw the email go out, I'm like, they got to know who this is. Like, I don't know who it is, but I'm like, they have to kind of know, and they're sending out an email so
that's
they don't have to
fun.
Talk to him directly, you know, so they can be like, gosh dang it. You know, I don't want to confront him about this directly. It's a little too uncomfortable. I'll just mass blast an email so that I know he gets it, and now everyone's uncomfortable.
That's great. Okay, yeah, I get that part. That's great.
Passive aggressiveness. But anyway.
Hell yes. The aggressive passive aggressiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Love that.
Can't wait to see how it shakes out.
Literally.
Weird choice words by me, but yeah. Well, how things been going with you? You got Captain Novelin lately. So you've been having fun.
Oh, God. Don't ask me. Don't ask me how things are going lately because I posted my... Polykill, you know, tiers of games I've beaten.
Oh yeah, that's always fun.
The past month, all three of mine were Fs because it was Captain Novelin, Rex Ronan, Experimental Surgeon, and Packy and Marlin. Three of the four horsemen. I mean, health heroes. So it really bad stuff. Really terrible games. They might as well be the four horsemen of the apocalypse, as far as I'm concerned, because they're truly awful games. Intentions be damned.
Yeah.
To hell, literally. They're really awful games. Have you played any of those, by the way? Like, have you heard of them?
I've heard of Novelin, but I think it was just from you crapping on it. You know, did you reference that game a lot as a bad game before this week?
I listed it as one of my top 13 worst.
Okay.
SNES games.
I think that's how I'm aware of it then, because I just knew that you thought it was bad already.
And yeah, you know how the internet is. Like, anything bad is going to get popular. So my worst games video has like, let's actually look.
Give it a look. Let's do it.
Has a shitload of views because that's what people like. The worst Super Nintendo games video has. I'm looking at the analytics of this, and the views of this actually increased from like 30 a day to over 100 a day the
Whoa.
Past week since I posted that Captain Novelin video, which is pretty damn funny.
Is it being recommended at the end, you think?
It must be. Yeah, it's gotta be because that video is, or that game is goddamn terrible. I can't see the views though. It's gotta be over 100. Okay, I would think, but yeah, people love bad stuff. Oh, it's 529,000 views, which is
that's
insane.
Lot.
Yeah, that's insane. I don't know how to wrap my head around that number. So yeah, that's pretty crazy.
But yeah, so you've had a rough few weeks there, a week and a half or so.
I'm trying to lean into the Switch and play Super Mega Baseball 4. I can't remember if I've talked about this game with you on the podcast.
Yeah, you mentioned it some last time because we were talking about how much you thought the pitching was fun compared to the batting, which
yes.
is rare in a baseball game. Yeah.
Yes. I think it's a really good game. It just kind of sucks on Switch because the performance is so bad. Like, it skips frames constantly, which is problematic for fielding, especially because there's a transition between when you hit the ball and the screen flips to fielding from batting, and it's always choppy as hell. That's a drag, but that game's a lot of fun. Like, it's not quite Griffey levels of fun, but it is.
Sure. Of course.
It is. It's got that arcade style where you can crank out a 9-inning game in like 20 minutes. Everybody's got big cartoony features and stuff like that. It's, the game cuts a really quick pace. So yeah, I would recommend it. It's just on Switch, it's a little laggy, which is unfortunate. But I'm starting to get used to that, actually. I'm not enjoying playing these higher performance games on this handheld machine. Ultimately, a handheld machine.
I think I asked you before or at some point, but is this game going to be a Switch drunk?
Probably not, because it's hard to get good footage for it because it's so laggy. You know, when I want to record, like, okay, here's Roger Clemens pitching to Jeff Bagwell or whatever, and it's just tick, tick, tick. Yeah, it just doesn't look good. Like, if the footage doesn't look good, I don't want to make a video of it because I'd rather write. Oh, we'll get to this later because somebody emails about this. I think I'd rather write a review about it than show a review about it.
Well, we got to get our coffee table book up and going, man. It's working for
Pat
right
on,
Contry.
Yeah.
We got to get the drunk friend book, and then we can put baseball players in there and rate them too.
I'd like to make a coffee. Do we talk about this? A coffee table book where we just like name guys and put their pictures. It's just like 200 pages of just like Jeff Rebelet. And it's just a picture of Jeff Rebelet, and then the next page is like Mike Moustakas.
Damn. You're on fire today, dude. You hit me with the Moustak. God damn, dude. That's crazy.
Or Kevin Brown, or, you know, any of those.
My favorite thing to do is name guys that aren't real. Like, show me a picture of a guy and let me come up with his name. That's my favorite.
That's hard. That takes skill.
Remember you showed me that guy with the big mustache? I thought Dustard Wiglip was a perfect name for that guy.
That's really good.
And he's not real, apparently. Make me sad.
Just the name Dustard.
Dustard, right? I feel I started with Dusty, and I was like, "Nah, this guy looks a little more formal. He looked more formal.
He's not quite Dusty. He's not quite Dustin, and he's not quite Mustard. He's Dustard.
Dustard. I love that with an H somewhere. I like there has to be an H in Wiglip.
Yes, Wiglip. and no, Wig is W-I-G, and the lip is L-H-I-P.
Right.
Yes.
You can blame any European country for that, or France. Yeah.
That's great. I love that idea.
That is awesome. Emails? I can get started here. We got, this one's from Adam, or Ron Crew, the Ron Coomer. Says, title of the email is Limp Bizkit Kills a Boat. I tell you,
yes.
I clicked on that so goddamn fast, I almost knocked everything off my desk. I was like, what?
Yeah, me too.
First, I was like, a live boat? I'm glad they killed it. Kill it with fire. It's alive.
Okay. No, they blew up a dead corpse of a boat. A boat that was already dead somehow. But
That's true.
They killed a live boat. They really did.
They did. So Adam here, I don't know if I'm supposed to call him Adam or Ron Coomer, if Ron Coomer is some baseball reference I'm supposed to get. But Adam says, he attaches a YouTube link and he says, that's it. That's all I want to talk about. The next time the year 1999 comes out of your mouth, this is what you'll be discussing. And if you click on that video, it's about 30 seconds. It shows Limp Bizkit there in concert. I believe that was that Lollapalooza or something? Was that Woodstock 99? I couldn't tell which concert.
No, it is definitely not any of those things. It's probably MTV Spring Break.
Oh, Spring Break. Yeah, it is, because they're definitely at an island and everybody's wearing a bikini, even the dudes. Okay, so... there's a boat out in the distance, clearly an already dead boat. You know, this boat wasn't long for the water. Mid-concert, Fred goes, I'm first name basis, Fred goes over, hits the plunger, boom goes the boat, and then without missing a beat, he doesn't even watch the boat burn. It's cool guy action, you know, turn your face away from the explosion, right back into singing what I imagine are extremely highbrow and poetic Limp Bizkit lyrics. 1999. Only 1999.
This is prime. To set the scene, this is like prime 1999. This is Durst doesn't have the red hat on, but he's got the Major League Baseball logo, you know, right in between his eyes. You know, it's a black hat, black T-shirt, and he's got the soul patch that leads into a goatee or a Van Dyke. And there's this like old ass boat. And my favorite part of this video is it's just even when Fred Durst is counting down, he's still doing that affected Fred Durst voice yeah. where he's doing like one, or he's like 10, 9, 8, 7. It's like, can you just count like a normal person, please?
Oh my God, dude, you just added Fred Durst to your repertoire of impersonations.
I'm ordering things from Starbucks. Can I get a cafe latte? It's like, can you talk like a regular effing person? Jesus.
Did I've already told this podcast that I did go see Limp Bizkit in the last 2 years. Yeah. It was wild. He was, you know, still fretting around out there.
And boat's on fire. Is that my problem? Is that insurance covered? Whoa. It's like Joey Lawrence.
It is a little like Joey Lawrence. Whoa. Right?
Seriously, it's listeners, go to the old YouTubers and search for Limp Bizkit blows up a boat. It's literally like a, what is it, like a 30-second video?
Yeah, it's 30 seconds. I'll put the link in the show notes, so.
Oh, right on. I have no idea what song this is, but it's just some like ancient ass, you know, probably like a freaking cocaine smuggling boat from Miami back in ye olden days or something. But they literally just blow up an old boat and it just sits there and burns and everybody, yay, you blew up a boat. You have money to do that. That's wonderful.
And it was because of safety precautions. It was about 400 yards away from the island and behind the band. So the only people that could see it were in the front row.
It's way in the background. Yeah, it is. It really is. I think 400 feet is being generous. It's way back there next to an empty peninsula.
Yeah.
It's clearly in Florida. This has big time Florida vibes.
So anyone that was there, unless you're in the front row, you probably didn't see. You heard him count down. Then you heard a thing. And then you maybe saw some smoke and you're like, what happened? What did they do?
I'm on MTV still, right? Still? We got to address the end of this email because Adam is our friend that will always send us.
Oh, this is just okay.
Regular ass. He'll end his emails with a random baseball name. He likes to play the game with us where he just names people. He didn't sign the email Ron Coomer. He's just saying Ron Coomer as like a duck call almost.
I see. Well, the way it was put in the sheet, because some people will have a by name and be like, hey, just call me Marv. Like, don't put my full name in.
I didn't even think of that. So you think this guy's name is Ron Coomer?
I was like, maybe I don't say Adam. Maybe that was the from name. Maybe he really wants to go by Ron Coomer. That's my bad.
Oh, that's my bad. I thought you knew who Ron Coomer would be. That's my mistake.
Yeah, who the fuck knows who Ron Coomer is besides you?
I do. You know, and I had a huge thing prepared about Ron Coomer for this podcast because, and I'm not kidding, I did, because Ron Coomer is near and dear to my heart because I would say the worst Twins team of my lifetime was the 1999 Twins. And this is back in the day when Major League Baseball made every team send a representative to the All-Star game, even the shit tier teams like the Twins. And the Twins had to pick Ron Coomer to go. 33-year-old Ron Coomer had to go to the freaking All-Star game, even though he was batting 260. He had like 15 home runs and like 12 doubles.
Wow.
Just mediocre ass Ron Coomer. And he's also my go-to answer for the Immaculate Grid when the Twins and Chicago Cubs cross-sect. So
look at you. Dang.
And he's like a regular, he's one of those like old school looking baseball players where he's like a regular looking guy. He's like a dumpy kind of looking guy. He's got like a one of those like 90s ass goatees, and he's clearly weighs like a couple bills. And
seriously, I thought he installed cable. Like when I clicked on a picture of him, I was like, that guy works for Xfinity.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy you look outside your house one Tuesday morning and he's like digging through your like he's like checking your meter or like
meter
looking
guy.
Your
yeah he's a yeah meter yeah guy. Oh, that's perfect. Well, yeah, thanks Adam / Ron Coomer. We appreciate that email.
We got an email here from Jason that says thank you, and he says someone told me that you guys shouted me out, and he says in parenthetical, I'm Jason Graves. Thank you. I had no idea about the podcast until now.
Well, Jason, we didn't really know who you were either. And so, Jason, I think what might have happened, not that you're unimportant to us, because now you're a listener of the show and we appreciate it, at least of one episode. But I think somebody, you might know a man named Dave Schrock. He emailed us a couple times saying that you should have Jason Graves on. I think he embedded that in his email that we read on the show. So
you could say he engraved it.
He did. So, Jason, you can consider this us having you on the show. So, welcome. Thank you for email.
Welcome.
We appreciate it. We thought, you know, we were, you know, obviously, Mr. Graves, pretty excited to receive an email from you. You know, it's good.
Do you think he's related to Peter Graves?
Well, I was going to say, it's great to talk to someone who's related to Peter Graves. I think that's wonderful.
And he went to the University of Minnesota.
But I had to Google Jason Graves because I was like, well, who's Jason Graves? And what initially came up was a video game composer who's composed soundtracks for a number of Star Trek games. And I was like, is this something that Petey did to us?
I didn't think of that.
Yeah. But I did some extra researching, and it was not that Jason Graves. It's this Jason Graves who covers YouTube or has YouTube videos about video games. So good job with those videos, Jason.
Maybe he's related to Adam Graves, the left wing guy for the New York Rangers for their 1994 Stanley Cup team.
Could be.
He was pretty good. Pretty good player. Not an embarrassment to be related to Adam Graves. So we got Peter Graves, Jason Graves, and Adam Graves.
And they're all related somehow.
Possibly. But anyway, this guy says, my question is about the future of Zestrunk. You've been doing it for so long and have tackled almost everything SNES related. I know that's not the only thing the channel is about, but it's hard to keep coming up with different angles to tackle all these games. At what stage do you think the concept will be exhausted? We're way past that. And do you think there's enough juice to go for another 10 years? The answer is no. Ever think of pivoting to a sports channel or something? LOL? Question mark. Anyway, you're a real good YouTuber and an inspiration. Have a nice rest of your day. Hey, that's a really nice email, Jason. Thank you. No, I have some extra stuff that I want to do. The thing I like doing the most, more than playing video games, more than playing SNES games, more than doing anything, is writing. I'm going to be creating a Substack somewhat soon where I can write about whatever it is that I want to write about. Sometimes it'll be short stories. Sometimes it'll be reaction pieces to like sports or news or whatever. Sometimes it'll be just whatever, you know, a lot of it is going to be gaming related, but that's kind of the next thing I'm working on is a blog, I guess you'd call it, where it's a Substack sort of a thing. The thing that I used to have a Patreon a few years ago, and what bugged me about that from day one is that I couldn't provide any sort of rewards because I was just doing what I would be doing anyway, and that always bugged me. So with this, I can at least provide some sort of reward and stay out in front of that and build some kind of community within the... I'm not sure. I'm still ironing out the details, I guess, is what I'm saying. But I would rather write. That's what I really like to do, is write stuff.
Which you already do. I mean, you have a fair bit of practice with that for your scripts. I mean, you got to write that out. So, I mean, it's just carrying it over and not like making...
Right.
You know, taking it from your spoken scripts, which are different than something you might share as a written publication, but still, I think that's cool.
Right. Thanks for saying that. That's right. I've been writing this whole time because every single one of my SNES 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 drunk videos have a script. At least every one of my reviews do. So
yeah,
I really love writing. So I would rather write. You know, who the hell knows? It might be a spec script for a fictional episode of like Friends or some bullshit like that. It might be. There's going to be a lot of sports bullshit. There's going to be a lot of like. Here, let's take a look, actually. What do I have? Oh, I wrote about having a panic attack in Target.
Oh.
So that's one of the first things.
Was that recent?
I have written. Yeah, that's a few weeks ago.
Damn.
And I also have stuff planned, like a grocery store scavenger hunt, a grocery store playlist. The other day, for the millionth time, I heard Breakfast at Tiffany's by Deep Blue Something.
Mm.
And I realized this is the only place where you hear this song, and you hear it every time you go to the grocery store. It's like, what other, I want to study, like, what other bands and songs do you only hear at the grocery store? Like, this band might as well have written this song specifically for Albertsons. So, yeah, there's stuff I do all over the place.
What's the scavenger hunt all about? What's that? Is that a...
Oh, that's just, back in ye olden days when I lived in, South Minneapolis, I remember writing a scavenger hunt of stuff you should look for while you're riding the light rail from wherever to Minneapolis where I worked. It was like the lady that doesn't know how to fold up a stroller, that's a point. The guy that comes in biking and is breathing really heavily and sweaty, stands right next to you the whole train ride, that's a thing. There's the guy that asks you what you're listening to as you're listening to it. There's all sorts of dumb shit like that. Hopefully I'll make it entertaining and worth your while, or at least maybe a little insightful. I'll try to make it interesting. That's the goal.
I've had the pleasure of reading some of your writing because you introduced me to an old website you used to maintain back in the
yeah.
day. And it was very funny and very good. Even, you know, this is what, 15 years ago in your life. So now you practiced, you're wiser. I think it'd be great. I think it'd be a hit.
Oh, thanks for saying that. I used to do a thing where I would try to write onion-type articles about stuff. And it was usually just bullshit about, you know, complaining about my roommate. Like, roommate makes house smell like shit once again. You know, like, just dumb stuff like that. I'd love to do stuff like that again. Who knows? Like, it's just basically, like, a big empty palette for me to just go nuts on. So, and I really love writing.
Allows you to express yourself a little more. I mean, I think podcasting yes. scratches that itch for you, but, I mean, your video work... I mean, you're all over the place. Your videos are massively popular and all that stuff, but you don't actually get your personality doesn't get to shine through unless it's from like referencing sports or kind of being funny with it. But this is a good way to let some Alex out. I think that's good.
Thanks for saying that. Like some of the stuff like that I want to write about doesn't translate to video. Mm-hmm. Like I would love to do a Why the Hype video about Mystery Science Theater 3000 or about baseball cards. Or about other stuff like that, and I don't know how to like create visuals for that necessarily, you know. So yeah. I don't. There's a lot of stuff that like doesn't translate to video that I would love to write about. And those are just, you know, like Beavis and Butthead, Simpsons, Seinfeld, like TV shows I like, movies I like, music I like. There was one idea I had where I want to write a review about every vinyl record that we own, Pearl and I, and I was going to go in alphabetical order. The only problem I have with that is that Pearl has a lot of Tori Amos records, and I fucking hate Tori Amos. So that's where I would start. Yeah, so that's where I would start, and I would try and like weasel my way out of it, or I don't know what I would do.
I don't know, though. Would you do, maybe you could do first names for, you know, maybe she's Tori, maybe she's in the T's. Because you, when you think of Elton John, you're looking for him in the E's, right? You're not skipping to the J's for Elton John.
Oh man, that's a good point. But then what I would, what would I start with?
ABBA?
I don't even know what we have. ABBA? No, we don't have any ABBA.
Get well, I, get ABBA. And then you
just buy it.
Just buy some ABBA.
Sabotage my own idea from the beginning. But yeah, that's what, that's just what I want to do. I want to write about other stuff other than video games. So it's,
makes sense.
And that's basically what I do with SNES Drunk anyways. I write reviews and I write them for voiceovers, and I would like to write about other shit. So that's the whole point here.
Now, have you ever considered, because I mean, the obviously SNES Drunk was popular idea. The format's simple and it lives through time. Have you considered, and I know you want to write, but have you considered ever either doing a different YouTube channel? I mean, maybe not even now. Maybe now the answer is no, but at any point did you ever consider, like, maybe I'll do a second channel where I highlight these things in video form? Did you ever think
that's
branching out?
That's too much work, and especially because I think YouTube has relaxed its stuff a little bit in recent days, but now it's like, if I want to write a review of something, like, it would just be me talking to a camera, and I definitely don't want to do that because there's a million people already doing that. And so it's like, what am I left with for a video, for a visual for people to watch? Not much, because I can't use anything that's, you know, copyrighted or whatever. I'd rather write anyway. I'm old school, where I'm one of those dorky kids. I love to read the paper every day as a kid. I love newspaper writers. I still read the Washington Post every day. So I love just reading and writing and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
Very cool, man. Well, that's, I'm excited for you.
That's, thanks for saying that. Yeah, I wanted to thank you to... I'm sorry, Jason, for bringing this up. This is what I'm pivoting to. I'm pivoting to a Substack that where I blather about. And believe me, there's going to be lots of nonsense sports bullshit there too. Like,
oh, of course, it wouldn't be you without it. That's part of the maybe old wrestling. Do some old wrestling.
Oh, man, I got a lot of that.
You're basically just writing to me. This is just going to be our DMs on Substack, because I feel like that's
the right conversation. I'll tell you. So, you know what? Let's transition to this right now. I'll give you my top five. Here's a preview to the sports section of my future Substack. Top five mid-2000s fantasy waiver wire guys that you only picked up if you were truly desperate to fill a spot. Okay? These are the five guys in the mid-2000s. Fantasy waiver wire guys for baseball. And number five, Larry Bigby. Baltimore Orioles legend.
Okay.
Number four.
Sorry I didn't react. I was like, that's the least response Baltimore Orioles legend Larry Bigby's ever received. And I feel terrible. Larry!
He's not. He's not. Number four is Robert Fick, Detroit Tigers legend.
Oh, Robert
Fick.
Yeah, now we know the Fick. It's Thick and the Fick.
There's at least one guy listening to this that's like, yeah, Robert Fick. Number three is Royce Clayton.
Oh, Royce Clayton. Great name on Royce Clayton. Royce Clayton's got the kind of name where you're like, wait a minute, is that a baseball player or a fancy car? I drive a Royce Clayton.
I drive. that's actually, I like that. I drive a Royce Clayton. That's excellent.
See?
Excellent work there. Number two, Jose Guillen. If you don't know who Jose Guillen is, and you were playing fantasy baseball in the 2000s, I don't know who you are.
You got to know Jose Guillen.
He was always available, and he was always good for like 15 home runs a year. He was always on a different team every year.
I was going to say he played for 63 different teams.
Yeah, at least. But the number one mid-2000s fantasy waiver wire guy that you only picked up if you were truly desperate is my guy, Willie Mo Pena.
Oh, you got a little, just to get a little Mo Pena. That's what I always say. Just get a little Mo Pena.
I picked up this guy every year, like clockwork. It's like, all right, I need an outfielder. And he was on the Reds. He was on the Red Sox. Guy was always there for me. Good memories with Willie Mo Pena. But anyway, yeah, that's what I want to do after SNES Drunk is just name guys that used to play baseball.
which we don't do any of now. So it'll be great for you to be able to do that. There. That's awesome, dude. Well, thank you again, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah. And everybody, I mean, yeah, we'll give him that free shout out. Check out Jason Graves there on YouTube. He's got a YouTube channel. Okay. Up next, we got one from Giano. You know our friend Giano. He's from Down Under, right? You know that.
Mm.
He's got an email here called Worst Animals. I thought maybe I would do my best, because we've never met Giano, but I'm going to do what I think Giano might sound like, and this will most likely offend Giano, but I'm going to do my best Australian accent, Giano.
You know what? Giano has emailed us like 6 or 7 times at least.
Oh, at least.
He's a great guy, great listener and all that. Let's hear your Australian accent.
All right, Giano, I need you to let me know if this is good or bad, okay? And I know it's going to be bad, so maybe just maybe soften up your response when you tell me it is, okay? Good day, drunk friends. In my life, I've been bitten by spiders. It's got to hit that A harder. I've been bitten by spiders, dogs, cats, and a donkey. That was a little more Austin Powers than I meant for it to be. And a donkey. I've been swooped by birds and chased by snakes. And this got me wondering, what is an animal that you consider to be an asshole? And how does it compare with its video game counterpart? For me, it's a bit... Sometimes we'll just squeak in a Boston for no reason. For me, it's a particular bird we got in Australia called a plover. I got to remember, it's more nasally.
Dude, that's pretty good. You're doing pretty good so far.
Oh, I appreciate it. I've spanned the globe twice, but yeah, we're getting back. They set up their nests on the ground, usually in high traffic areas like parks and footpaths. If you get within about 20 meters of them, they go ape shit, swoop you relentlessly until you leave. To make matters worse, they are a protected species, so you can't just swat the bastard out of the air. Needless to say, this just brings back NAMM flashbacks of Ninja Gaiden and its awful birds. Alternatively, what is an animal that games have villainized that is actually pretty chill in real life? Real life. Have a great weekend, Giano.
That's pretty good, man.
I don't know. It feels like a lot. It's really British a lot of the time, which is different, but we, you know.
No, you did great because maybe I'm ignorant on this, and I probably am, but the thing I've noticed about Australian versus British accents is that the Australian accent is closer to the front of your mouth, if that makes sense.
I think it does. Like,
so,
and the British accent is just like someone chewing a bunch of tongues.
You're right. Yeah, it's further in. Yeah, it's further in your mouth. Mm-hmm. That sounds lovely. But yeah, that's a great email from Giano, and that's a great reading from you, Trav. I think that was A+.
Thank you. Thank you. Giano won't agree with that, but I'm glad you do.
What do you got? What email or what emails? What animals piss you off?
You know, I think a lot of people who know me know that I have a somewhat irrational fear of snakes.
That's right. I forget you're anti-snakes.
Yeah, well, I'm not. You know, I'm pro. Just keep them away from me. You know, I'm not on a crusade to murder all snakes, but you know, I don't want one kind of close to me.
Right.
But at any rate, but I don't think that they're particularly arseholes. I just think they're spooky. I think the animal that is a particular arsehole, now, I'm going to say certain birds, not all birds, but like the ones that wake you up in the morning, the early birds, you know, especially the ones with the, like a crow or something that just sounds like bad, like traffic or something. It's just too much. It's like
traffic.
It's just screeches and blah. I don't like that. And I also think that the video game counterpart of birds typically annoying as fuck. They're usually at a height that's not consistent with the peak of your jump, so you can't hit them with your shots. Usually I'm talking about a 2D platformer, obviously. It's hard to sometimes hit the flying enemies. Flying enemies in general aren't my thing in games. So I'm going to say certain species of pesky bird.
Yeah, it's funny our friend Giano brings this up because friend of the podcast, Hunger Garaya, has been playing Ninja Gaiden lately on her stream.
Oh, yeah.
And oh my God, those birds are insanely annoying. Like, and she's such a good sport. She's laughing the whole time she falls into a pit after yet another bird sends her into a another game over. But yeah, the bird for me that kills me, that I absolutely cannot stand. You could say this bird helped me move to New Mexico out of Minnesota. I hate Canadian geese.
Oh my God!
I hate Canadian geese.
Don't tell Pam.
Is she a defender of Canadian geese just because she's Canadian?
Isn't that their state bird or something? I don't know.
I don't know. No, they're those. The thing is with them is that when I was a teenager, I worked at a golf course, good old Eagle Valley Golf Course in Woodbury, Minnesota. I helped get that place started as a 16-year-old kid with a shovel, literally digging the sand traps by hand. That was a wonderful experience. Yeah, out in the sun. The worst job in the world that I've ever had was raking goose shit off the practice green because Canadian geese just like wandered over there and just decided to like hang out there for 10 minutes or whatever. I will say there was one time where I saw a Canadian goose, I guess, wandering. There was a flock of Canadian geese that was wandering from the 6th tee down the 6th fairway. And one of them had a huge swollen head, like the right side of its head was like super enlarged over its left side. And it's, I learned later, it's because somebody hit that thing with a golf ball.
Oh no.
And I was like, the feeling I felt at that point was like joy, which is really weird. Because I'm like, fuck those things. they're so awful. I don't know. Maybe I'm out of line by saying that, but it's just
no. It's
they're the worst. They're the worst.
You know what? Knowing the goose probably asked for it. You know what I mean?
They're garbage. They're rats with wings. Come on, they're terrible. They don't do anything. I had to rake their shit off the practice green for like every week in the entire year of 1998. Screw them. They're awful. Give them a Macho Man Savage onto every single Canadian goose I ever see the rest of my life.
I'll need Big Goose coming down on this podcast, so I'm going to remain neutral so that only half of us
Boo.
Are the enemies of Big Goose. Well, is there an animal besides the goose that you consider an arsehole? I mean, are there any geese in video games? There's the Untitled Goose Game, and that goose is, in fact, an arsehole.
No, that goose is not a Canadian goose. They're a straight-ahead regular goose, I think.
You think it's like an American goose?
No, not an American goose, necessarily. Just some goose that...
For some reason, I'm realizing right now that there's not just two geese, American and Canadian. Like it's cheese or something, like a type of ham.
That's just what they're called. Like, it's not like, yeah, there's a Mexican goose, there's a Guatemalan goose, there's a Nicaraguan goose.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
There's a goose called a Brent. There's a Brent goose. I like him. He seems cool. Brent.
Oh. Have you ever known a guy named Brent?
I feel like I have. He's probably listening right now, and he's like, Travis, it's me, Brent.
I went to elementary school with a kid named Brent, and I have not known a Brent ever since then. I think Brent is an underrated name. There has not been a Brent, a prominent Brent, in a long time.
Yeah, there really hasn't been.
What the hell, Brent?
Make Brent's Brent again.
Yeah.
So he says, alternatively, what is an animal that games have villainized that's actually pretty chill in real life?
What would be villainized? I don't even know. What animal is villainized? I guess crows?
Well, but fuck crows.
Yeah, but crows are cool. I like crows.
You like crows.
Yeah, they're smart. They know how to do things.
They're loud and obnoxious, and they steal stuff. But yeah, they are smart. They're like flying poodles. Smart dog. There are definitely animals I think that I have to kill in games where I'm like, why do I have to kill that? Those things are nice.
What you got?
Well, I'm having a hard time thinking of it, but I just feel like that's been the case, right? Like
I got one. I was able to think of one. I'm going with poodle since you mentioned poodles. Poodles have been slagged on for a long time because of their stupid haircuts that people insist on getting them, but they are actually one of the smartest dog breeds.
Yeah, of course. I had poodles growing up. We gave them dumb haircuts, and they were super smart.
Yeah. They're not stupid dogs. They're smart dogs.
Yeah,
so.
Very smart. Yeah. But have you seen a poodle in a video game?
No. I can't think of one.
See, I was actually thinking of an animal, and it's not technically an animal, but a species of thing that games have villainized that's actually pretty chill in real life is the caterpillar. There's a lot of caterpillar bosses in games. Or not even bosses, just like, you know, occasionally if you have a level where you're jumping through the trees, there's always an enemy caterpillar.
Yeah, yeah.
Or as he scoots along, you can only jump on the part of him that's wrinkled up because he's moving. I think he's a boss in some game that I'm recalling. But caterpillars, for the most part, the little fuzzy ones that turn into butterflies are pretty sweet.
They are nice. Did you have a caterpillar when you were a kid? Like in a jar?
Nah, I mean, maybe once or twice. I don't know. It's a fun question. If you ask
the
me,
holes
I probably put anything I found in a jar as a kid, so I shouldn't deny anything. Yeah, poke some holes in it and absolutely stunt its purpose on the planet, which is to turn into a beautiful thing that flies. I'm like, no, you're a worm in a jar until you die.
That's right. You just poke some. It's like, here's your habitat now. It's 2 inch by 2 inch. Here's one stick hanging diagonally in your jar, and here's five holes in the top of your ceiling of your life, and that's it. That's all you got, buddy.
Enjoy, I say to him.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, Jono, for the email. Sorry, or you're welcome for the accent. I'll await your reply.
Hey there, Polymedia. It's your old pal Kevin from Uncle Doug's DVD Bin, and boy howdy, have I got some good news for you. A brand spanking new season. That's right, season 3. And guys, we've got it all. We've got action. We've got romance. We've got romantical action. That's right, it's happening too. And most importantly, we've got lots more Uncle Doug. You know, come to think of it, kind of reminds me what our Uncle Doug always says.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
All right, we got one more here from not quite a Brent, but close.
SNES question from Brett the Hitman Hart. Brett the Hitman Drunk Friend emailer, anyway. He says, Drunk Friends, love the podcast and both of your YouTube channels. What's your favorite Donkey Kong Country game for the SNES, and which level is your favorite in the series? Also, you guys ever think about getting the YouTuber Retro Bird on the podcast? He's fun. Okay, let's answer that in parts. Number one, Retro Bird. Yeah, I've talked to that guy before, I think on like Twitter or something like that. And yeah, he does good work on the old YouTuber. If he's open to being on, that wouldn't be a bad idea. He's a nice fellow, as far as I can tell. But the big question here is, what's your favorite Donkey Kong Country game for the SNES, and which level is your favorite? I spent like all day thinking about this. I'm not going to lie. My favorite game, obviously, is DKC2, the second game. And believe it or not, with Donkey Kong Country 2, a lot of the minecart levels are a lot of fun.
Right.
I actually had to Google a lot of the level names because
No one knows those.
Yeah, I can't just say like level 6-2 or something like that. But there's one called Rickety Race, and the minecart levels are more like roller coasters. They're super fun. Getting the DK coin at the end is really tough of Rickety Race, because you have to actually like try and catch up to the guy ahead of you.
Right.
That's always like a fun, gets the heart going a little bit. There's also a roller coaster and a haunted house for Haunted Hall is the name of the level. That one is really fun. I have a save state specifically on my SNES 9X for that level because I like playing it so much. But I think if I had to pick one level that's the best for DKC 2, it's got to be Castle Crush. That's the one where the floor rises up beneath you. I can't help but be a hipster when it comes to levels like that because it's so tough to get levels like that to do them right. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's I think of levels like that in Sonic. Remember in the first Sonic where you have to jump up all those platforms while keeping your oxygen level a certain,
yeah,
and you hear that thing, like, that's too, it's too effing hard. I don't think that level's balanced very well. There's also levels like Hagane in level 4. Super Castlevania 4 has a level towards the end where you jump up. In the Donkey Kong Country 2 level, Castle Crush, where you jump up, like, it uses every mechanic in the game where you switch between animals. If you get crushed, the rising platform actually stops for like a second to allow you to kind of situate yourself. So it's not like unfair. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It keeps going, but it allows you to like, okay, stop for a second. It's really hard. It's a really tough level. It's towards the end of the game. You still have those circling wasps that come around.
Oh, yeah, those bastards.
With a rising, a level that rises beneath you. And it's so hard. And the way the music builds from the beginning of the level and towards the end is great, too. So that's, I mean, somebody wrote a book about the level design in Donkey Kong Country 2. Like, that's how good it is. Like, it's so well thought of, and it's... the more I think about it, the more it's got to be like a top five SNES game. So
that's awesome.
I love that game. It's by far the best Donkey Kong game in my opinion.
Very cool, man. Well, you've said it before, and you have a bit of a disdain for that original, and I think maybe a lot of that comes from commenters trying to assert their nostalgic opinions on you. But the first one is my favorite, and that's me saying I realize objectively that DKC2 is way better on paper and technically and beyond, but I got a strong affection for that first one because I played it a fuck ton. So I know it inside and out, and that makes my love grow strong, you know? There were better parents out there, but I had mine growing up, you know what I mean? So DKC, I like that one. And my favorite level, honestly, that first Barrel Cannon Canyon, where you're shooting yourself. I thought that was cool as hell as a kid because now it's easy for me to do it. But back then when the barrel's moving and I got it to line up and I could officially shoot myself like across a wasp into the other barrel, I felt like I was throwing strikes on the mound. I was like, fuck yeah, dude. Nailed it.
Right on.
It's a very formative gaming experience with DKC.
That's right.
It made me feel like I was, you know, I don't think I beat the game until I was an adult, but I remember like beating a couple bosses in that game. I was like, fuck yeah, dude, I'm so good at video games. I'm probably the best video game player I know, to be honest, because I've beaten some of Donkey Kong Country.
In this particular county, at least.
Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, that was probably true. But yeah.
That's awesome. So did you ever play the third game, Donkey Kong Country?
No, that's one that's an outlier for me. I haven't played that one.
Right on. It's also good. It's very much in step with the other two. So
very
if you
cool.
like the first one, like the second one, you like the third one.
Very cool. Like to hear it.
A, B, C, D. There you go. Burp, burp,
burp, burp, burp. Cool. Thank you, Brett. Good luck in all the things you do there. Thanks for the email. We've already done power rankings, so we're moving right along into YouTube comments. And Alex, I know we're already over an hour, but do you feel like spending a little time on some YouTube comments?
Yes, 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 yes. I'm curious to see what you got here, because you got some doozies.
Yeah, I know. I typically don't get a lot of day one comments. You know, it's rare for me to get a whole bunch out of the gate that are at least interesting. But I got a few here. This is a mixed bag. This first one here, this must be, I don't know. It could be either a boomer or a very young listener, because I feel like only those two generations, like Generation Z and Generation Boomer, use a ton of emojis in a YouTube comment. I feel like anybody between the ages of like 24 and 53 don't. So I'm making an assumption here, but Mario Youngblood, a subscriber, I was just appalled at the number of emojis. He says, hell yeah. This, by the way, this is on my Clash Demon Head video that just came out today, actually. He says, hell yeah. Then he's got two fist bumps emojis. Hell yeah, bump, bump. I love this game. Two more. Bump, bump. This game is the Spear of Destiny to the Nintendo. I just want to let that sit for a second.
Now, what does that exactly mean?
I mean, like, the Spear of Destiny, isn't that a Wolfenstein game?
I have no idea. Spear of Destiny just sounds like a generic term to, like, I don't know. The way he wields that statement makes it feel like he came up with it himself. So,
I mean, it seems like maybe he did. It's Wolfenstein 3D Spear of Destiny. It was a prequel to Wolfenstein 3D. Now, I don't know how it's just
that has nothing to do with anything on the NES.
I don't think so, but I appreciated the obscurity of that reference, so I was like, okay, maybe you're doing it to sound smart, or maybe you are smart. I'll never know because I'm too dumb. But he says, P.S., without this game, there be no Scott Pilgrim. That's why I love the movie. As soon as they mention Clash at Demon Head, then he does rock fingers. You know what I mean? Two devil horns in a row there. I don't know that without this game, there'd be no Scott Pilgrim. I think there would still be Scott Pilgrim. I think there just wouldn't be this game in it, personally. They would pick another game.
Yeah, they'd pick like...
Rygar or Kabuki Quantum Fighter.
Wrath of the Manta thing.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one.
Whatever that's
Wrath
called.
Of the Black Manta, yeah.
Wrath of the Black Manta, or maybe like... Tecmo Super Bowl or something.
What a great band name that would be. But yeah, I just like that one was just so full of, mainly emojis. But also the Spear of Destiny reference was, I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. That's creative.
Yeah. Well, you take one here. What do you got? You got something fun?
Yeah, I got for when I did the review for Captain Novelin, a video game for Super Nintendo made specifically for kids that were diabetic, this person says, my brother was diagnosed as a type 1 diabetic in the early 90s and played this game in the hospital. Years later, I told him I picked up a copy of Captain Novelin. He said, why the hell did you buy that? That's the worst game I've ever played.
Dude. And that dude was dealing with a lot on top of having to play Captain Novelin. Like, what a rough time.
Oh, that's great. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. Yeah, they gave out like 10,000 copies or some... I forget the specifics, but there are a lot of copies given out for free to hospitals with the purpose of like, hey, this is going to help kids learn how to live with being diabetic. And this is the response they got. It's the worst game I've ever played.
Like, that all right, is...
well, you tried.
I can't think of a worse pairing than diabetes and Captain Novelin. I really can't.
Well, I mean, they're intrinsically paired, or is that the right word? Intrinsically?
Inherently?
Inherently? I don't know. Something like that.
I'm not smart enough to know. But also kind of funny to me that the name of that commenter was Took by Job. It seems like this guy just lives a life of constant despair. So his avatar is a sad lion. Like, this guy needs a hug. So does his brother. That's rough. All right. I got one here. This one is, again, from today on my Clash at Demon Head video on the NES. This is from Retralsis. It's a bit long here, but he says, My dad randomly gave me this one day when I was home from school very sick. I think he was saving it for a birthday or something, and he felt bad for me. I played it for quite a while, but since I didn't have the patience to write down notes or make a map, I just wound up going back and forth and doing circles trying and failing to find my way through the plot. It wasn't until a lot of years later that I got online and found a guide to tell me where to go and finally beat it. I don't know, I'd probably like it more if I'd done that from the start, but now I always remember it as the game where I got lost running back and forth across the maps in a feverish haze. And I can't shake that. And then I said, well, regardless, I'm glad you're feeling better. You know, I know it's been a while. He's a story from when he was a kid and he was sick, but I was like, man, above all else, I'm glad you're feeling better. And an update to that comment was he replied very cautiously with dot, 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 right on. So I guess my response to him was like weird. All the things he said to me, I was like, well,
why is that weird? What's wrong with this dude? But yeah, I think that was a perfectly okay response.
Yeah, but also I liked that that story because
yeah,
I have some games I played when I was homesick from school that that were just time wasters, and for some reason they've just stuck in my brain as just experiences. That doesn't mean they were good games. It's just like, man, one time I spent a whole day home from school sick playing Taz Escape from Mars. And that's just a thing that happened in my life. And I can not have that. That happened to me.
Yeah. I remember staying at my friend's house back in like 1992, I think, for his birthday. He had lots of Crystal Pepsi and Cool Ranch Doritos, and he rented Out of This World and Populous.
That's a rough weekend, man.
Both of those games like are etched into my brain as like bad games because we were both, or you know, there's like six other kids there, but all of us were just like, what the fuck are we supposed to do in any of these games?
That's a rough rental too, man. Those
that was bad. It's not a good time. Well, I'm glad Retrolysis is feeling better.
Me too.
Assuming they are. That's a pretty funny comment, though. I have another comment here about Captain Novelin, though, where Scott Gardner 2950 says, I had a diabetic friend play this once. He collected every snack and collapsed and asked why, since he only ate the healthy ones. I told him he ate too many and caused Captain Novelin to die of diabetes, and he proceeded to laugh so hard that he couldn't breathe for 5 minutes.
I mean, I can see if you're kids, that's kind of a funny irony.
That's classic kid humor right there.
Like, yeah.
If you don't understand what diabetes is, just like he died because he ate too much. Like that's a funny concept. Like it just is. I mean, I can put myself in that spot. Like I would laugh too. Like, oh, he just ate too much and died. Like that's just funny to me.
yeah, it's good stuff. All right, I got one more here. This is from Jason FP7VI. It's hard to remember, Jason. I hope you got autofill there for your screen name. He says, this is again on Clash of D-Man, and he says, as a non-American, is that how Mount Rainier is actually pronounced? Or are you trolling foreigners? And I do make a little gag in the video there about Mount Rainier being the mountain in the background. It could be. I have no idea. I just made that up. But my one of my subscribers to the rescue real quick swoops in and replies directly and says, as an American, I believe it is. But for what it's worth, I also generally wouldn't recommend asking someone from Appalachia how to pronounce something.
How about that shit, huh?
With a sweaty smiley face. And I was like, oh, and this is from Ryan Scott Zero, or Ryan Scott with zeros all over the place. And I was like, oh, Ryan, you son of a bitch. How dare you call out my Appalachian tongue? So I responded and I said, you watch your gosh dang mouth, Ryan.
Yeah, I suppose you're going to say, do what now?
Do what now,
you,
Ryan?
What are you doing? Do what now? I'm sorry, that's more Texas than Appalachian.
That is, yeah, but they're both right. I really have no idea how to pronounce that. I was guessing, and if I got it right, I was lucky. So you're both welcome. Thank you.
All right, so the next comment that I got, I guess I got two more here that I got to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Another one is for Captain Novelin. He says, this is from Spidey Trom, who says, I remember when I was a kid, my doctor gave me a copy of Captain America Meets the Asthma Monster. It was so bad, it was funny. Apparently, Cap was supposed to have asthma and fought a dude in a discount swap thing costume with Dust Bunny henchmen. Pretty sure he had a gun that gave people asthma attacks. The 90s were wild. And sure enough, I had to Google this, and I have a link here. And oh my god, it's exactly as this person describes. It's hilariously stupid. It's from 1987, and it's called Attack of the Asthma Monster. And they use a gun that inflicts asthma symptoms on people who don't naturally suffer from asthma. It's like,
wow.
Okay, like, you're really running low on ideas if that's your villain.
That's crazy, man. The 90s really were crazy.
The 90s were crazy, even though this was made in 1987.
Yeah, it only got crazier from there, I guess is my point.
Crazier. But I got another one here from another comment here from Kevin Bad. Kevin Bad.
So bad.
Who says...
It's also like Kevin Babad.
Yeah.
Babad
to the bone. Kevin says, just close your channel down. The Genesis looks like crap and the gameplay is terrible. Just change your name or stop making videos. So, like a good guy, I said, sure thing, Kevin. The channel is now over. Thanks for the advice. Goodbye.
Wow, Kevin. Got his wish. That's how you're going to close her down, right there.
That's, yep, that's how I'm transitioning into my Substack, my video, my writing website. I'm going to stop making videos. Kevin Babad is going to take over from here.
That's good.
I don't know what kind of videos he's going to make, but...
he's not making any with fucking Genesis in it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe he'll start a Patreon and someone will request something or something, but we'll see. But yeah, it's pretty bad.
Just close your channel down, man.
It's gone. My channel is gone.
That sucks, dude. Because I had a lot of your videos flagged to watch later. I like to get about a week to 2 weeks of Alex in one sitting. And I'm so far behind. This guy's going to ruin all that. God damn it, Kevin.
Well, number one, that's horrifying. Number two, that's too bad, so sad.
I guess.
I hope you're doing okay with what you got. Otherwise, I can DM you and email you some of the vids I got, if you know what I mean.
Hell yeah, man. Slide me some Novelin in those DMs, please.
Yes, some Novelin, some Rex Ronan, some Back in Marlin. Fuck yeah. Get something going over here.
It is kind of wild that Rex Ronan and Captain Novelin, you did them back to back, and they both kind of have that same, like, warped medical angle kind of deal.
Oh, yeah. And there's also Bronchi the Bronchiosaurus, which is supposed to keep you from smoking. I did that one a long time ago. Yeah. So that one fits in. I just did that one back in the day because... That is the one cartridge that goes for a stupid pricey. Amount of money.
Yeah, super pricey.
So let me actually look. Like, I think the other four Health Heroes games aren't all that wanted, you know, for obvious reasons. But the loose price, let's see. Jesus Christ, these are so insane, these prices. Bronchi the Bronchiosaurus, $350,
man.
Yep, that's the most expensive one out of all of them.
And it sucks because it's not that good. If it were, it'd be called La Bronchi, you know what I mean? And that would have, you know what I'm saying? That's how you know it would have been a Hall of Fame game right there. But
is that what we're doing? Really? That's what we're doing?
Oh man, you dad voiced me. That was full disappointment.
Dad voice. Well, you know, I got a lot of experience with dad voice since I was, you know, got that full dad voice.
I thought you were going to say you were special. It's like, well, you know me, blessed with dad voice because I grew up with a dad. And that's you know, how I got it.
If I was actually clever, that's what I would have said. But, yeah.
It's not as easy as it looks, Kevin. We want to thank our emailers, folks, please.
We're getting a lot of great emails from people. We still got plenty of great emails coming up from, how many do we have here? 10? We've got a whole bunch. So keep sending them, folks. Like, we've got, like, lots of great emails from folks all parts of the world. Keep sending them. They don't even need to be gaming related. Like,
they
just
don't.
Keep sending us questions about, like, what do you think about, you know, boats? What do you think about Limp Bizkit blown up boats?
Yeah, which we've addressed today. But yeah, that's an example.
Yeah, what do you think about chocolate? What do you think about Limp Bizkit blown up chocolate?
Oh, now that's a good idea.
Yeah, what do you, maybe
chocolate
not,
flavored but, hot dog water or whatever.
Oh, God. Chocolate flavored hot dog water. Sounds like their next, like, freaking clone idea or something. But
it does. But let me get to it here. And that is true. We do want your emails. Please send them. We appreciate them. But that's for Alex to say after I read this part, which is, that's been another Drug Friend podcast. You can head on over to polymedianetwork.com. We got more shows over there. Let me tell you what we got over there, right? If you like beating video games, if you're a
nerd,
you like spreadsheet. What's that?
You gotta be like Hulk Hogan there. If you're gonna say like, let me tell you something, Mean Gene. You gotta tell like this. Let me tell you something. What we got?
What if I did it my Australian?
Oh, okay. You gonna do Australian?
Yeah. Let me. Jono, you come back in here, Jono. Here comes Jono. Jono's coming back.
Jono's coming in? Okay.
All right there, mate. This is what you want to do. You want to get over there on the poly kit, huh?
See, sometimes it's Boston. I can't... I'm not great with this.
How is it Boston? What are you doing?
Like, sometimes I get like... I'm like, poly kill. Like, I'm like, tell your cousin Gambini to tell Scott and Tony.
Like, I don't know. I get really weird with it. But, poly kill. All right? We've got... If you like spreadsheets and beating video games, that's what we got going on over there, okay? I don't know what accent this is. Just pretend it's somebody you like. Then we got Point Drink Adventure with Pam and Petey. We've had them on recently, you know what I'm saying? Uncle Doug's DVD bin back this week. We're starting out with Top Gun. You're not going to want to miss it because we've got Tom Cruise in there. You know Tom Cruise. He's got the unibrow and the unitooth. He's coming in hot. And Indie Quest, if you like indie games, that's what they've got over there. They suggested a lot of really good ones. You're not going to want to miss any. This is the best indie games out there. It's the best podcast for indie games.
Oi! You can send a lot of email to the show and all to game drunk friend at podcast@gmail.com. If you're not interested in sending an email, it's not a big deal. You just send us a rating or review of a podcast app of your choice, and that'll help us out big time, mate.
Yes, and if you didn't understand what Alex just said, I'm just going to paste all that into the show notes. You can find us all on social media. I say us all, there's just two of us here, but you can. Trav plays games for me in most places, and Alex, of course, SNES drunk in most places for him.
Oi. The track you hear was composed by our friend Kulo, and it's called Electric Star Bounce. You got to hear a little... oi. You can hear a link to a little more of his music on Paul's page. Shout out to John Leslie. Here is his whole logo.
Dang.
See? I can just mumble over that whole part and nobody cares. Josh Leslie. That's all I got to say. It's easier to say that name in an Australian accent. John Leslie. Thirst quenching logo. Oi. Is that a good Australian accent? Hey, Aussies. Oi, oi, Aussie. Is that good?
I don't know. It sounds like...
Oi.
I think you're saying oi, right? That feels right to me. And then the rest of it just sounds like Keith Richards trying not to shit. But anyway, good job. That's good job. Be sure to catch us on YouTube. Thanks for listening.
Oi.